Sorry about the slight delay this morning. I was getting everything in order and praying, reviewing, and thanking God for the opportunity for sharing with you so many things. Today is going to be on prayer, but yes, we're continuing our series of prayer series, and today is prayer, peace granted. Now, I know that there are many scriptures about peace and the peace of God and those things, and we are going to get into them maybe next week. I think prayer, peace granted, is so deep that I'm going to do a two-part series on it at least. But today, I want to talk to you again about peace and peace being granted in prayer. Now, sometimes if you've noticed, when you're studying a subject, if you've noticed, like to look at the opposite. And that gives me a clue of what's going on. So as I was thinking about peace being granted in prayer, I wanted to ask the opposite question. What steals your peace? Because like I said in the beginning, I think many of us know instinctively that God is the giver of peace. He is not only the giver of peace, He is our peace. But we lose that and we ask for that many times. Many times people say, you know, they'll call for prayer or ask for prayer and they'll say, I just need some peace over the situation. I just need peace. You know, with all that's going on, I just need peace. Can you pray for me to have peace? And so what steals your peace? Well, I started thinking about it. Really, there's only one thing that steals your peace, but I'm going to go into a few different things so I can kind of showcase the activities or the things that or the people that steal your peace, which is number one. People can steal your peace. Fear can steal your peace. And I want you to be thinking right now. What steals your peace? What takes your peace? If you go and you pray, let's just say you have your quiet time and you are peaceful. When you leave that prayer time, when do you lose it? What do you lose it over? What do you lose it for? What steals your peace? And I suggest to you or submit to you a few things. Like I say, I think it really boils down to one, but we're going to go through several things. People. Fear. Are you thinking of what steals your peace? Are there any of these? Lack of control. That's a big one for a lot of people. For mankind. Lack of insight steals your peace. You don't know what to do. Lack of resources can steal your peace. You don't know what you're going to do because you don't have the resources to meet the needs. But I'm going to go over, I decided as I was spending time with God and writing this, you know, I prayerfully consider, I feel like God gives the inspiration for what I'm going to talk about. And so as I was thinking about it, I wanted to touch each one, and God really slowed me down and said, I need you to stick with number one for a little bit. And so I don't know who needs to hear this today, but I was praying for whoever needs to hear my story at the end. People steal your peace. I don't think I have to elaborate on that. People steal our peace. But I think as Christians, we all know they're not supposed to. They are absolutely not supposed to steal our peace, because we know very well the scriptures. And one in particular that we know very well is Ephesians 6:12. And it says, and I'm going to read it in the New International Version, the New Living Translation, and then in the English Standard Version. I like to look at different translations, as I've told you before, because it gives different nuances of things. The New International Version and the New Living Translation, just for those who may not know, is a thought-for-thought translation. And it is written at about a third grade reading level. And most of our children books, most of the children books are written in these two translations. The NASB and the ESV are more a word for word translation. So anyways, it just gives you different shades and nuances. So Ephesians 6:12 and then NIV says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." That means people. Okay? But against, and it says, it makes a list here. Rulers, authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now I want you to listen to it again in a different version. Pick out those four, but listen to the ending. "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers." Okay, there it made it in the beginning. Sorry. "And authorities of the unseen world." Well, there's not flesh and blood, because I can see people. "Against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Okay, let's think. If my battle is against people, what is the Bible saying? The ESV, English Standard Version, says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness." And that always hits me. If you've ever read Frank Peretti's first two books, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness, they are a must read for Christians. "Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Okay, it is against the evil in heavenly places. It is not against people. If you look a few verses ahead, which we love to quote Ephesians 6:12 as I just did by itself, but even the verses 10 and 11, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against" who? People? "Against the schemes of the devil." You know, I was teaching a Bible study. I'm pretty sure it was Fervent. Yes, it was. And I don't remember what chapter we were in. And Fervent is a great book and study on prayer. And what I really like that differentiated it from other books is it didn't just talk about prayer. You actually had prayer cards in the back that you wrote on. So after each chapter, you sat there in the Bible study and you wrote on the cards. And she gave you suggestions and stuff, but you wrote things for your family, for yourself, and other places in your life that you needed prayer. And then you pulled out those cards and you used scripture and you prayed for that. So on one of the chapters, like I say, I don't remember which one, I had this thought and I ordered these cards for the people. And I'm going to see if you can see it. It says, "Not my enemy," with a little smiley face on the bottom. I did that on purpose. And I passed these out. I actually have many still left because I don't know why. I guess it was a special, and it's box one of two. It says on the top here, so that means that there's probably possibly another box around here. Whatever each, and so that left quite a few cards left. And so I told them, I said, put these wherever you can see them. Put them in your Bible, put them on your mirror in your bathroom when you're getting dressed and putting on your makeup, put them in your car on the dashboard, put them at work to remind you constantly that person that you're mad at, that whatever is going on with that person, they are not your enemy. They are not your enemy. It's just a constant reminder that people are not our enemy. That's not your enemy. Now, I told them another method that would be very effective, but I would not advise it. Not advise it. I said, if you needed, is there anybody you need to kind of tape it to their forehead? We all got a good laugh about that. But you know, that's really what we need to see is, and we've all heard that saying, hurting people hurt people. And so if we see them, as Jesus did when he looked out onto Jerusalem and was moved with compassion, if we see them a little differently rather than the hurting the hurtful people that they are. I think that would change our peace. Okay. So, again, I didn't recommend it, but just think about it, not my enemy. And then I started thinking of something else. We tend to think of people as being, being in this battle. And, one thing I thought of was we have the Son of God on our side. The Son of God. Now, I'm a words person. I love to look up and look at words, and I love the nuances of particular words in the Bible. I love the way it's said. I don't like to go to an extreme for that, but I think that God put certain words in the Bible, and he put them there for a reason. I very much think he could have chosen another word, but he chose that word. And so I was reading my Bible one day, and it said something about the Son of God. And I thought, listen to that article. You know, an article in the English language is a, an, or the. Listen to that article, the Son of God. And then I started thinking, Satan. Satan is a created being. Do you get the little nuance there between those two articles? The Son of God. That is someone in particular. That is a designated person. That is, you know, the food, the something. But it's a designated thing. In his situation, it's a designated person. Or a created being. That's one of many. That's one of many. You know, I saw one time there was a poster, and it had Jesus and the devil in an arm wrestling contest. And man, it looked fierce. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's awful. That's so not correct. There is no power struggle between Jesus and Satan. There is no power struggle between God and Satan. And we are conditioned to think that there is this big, big, long-lasting battle between good and evil. Because if you think of the movies that we see, whether it's the Avengers, trying to think of other ones, you know, Captain America, comic books, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, we are conditioned to see, even children's books, the book is about something negative, 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 and all of a sudden it turns out positive. And these other things where the forces of good and evil, like I say, I just kind of mentioned the Avengers or Captain America. Captain America is my favorite. He was my favorite in middle school, which was a long time ago, and way before he became popular on these new movies. But anyways, we have this 2-hour movie, and it is the battle. It looks like evil is winning because the good guys cannot figure out what to do, and they are getting thwarted at every turn. And how they are going to win, because the plot doesn't show us that, the script doesn't show us that. And until some inkling of information comes through, or a thought comes through, and then all of a sudden the good guys begin to rally. And in the last 5 to 10 minutes, maybe 15, the tide begins to turn a little before that, but in the last 5 minutes, they've won. There's 5 minutes left in there. They've won, and we get to go home. And it seems like that's the way it's conditioned, but I can tell you it is not a power struggle between God and Satan at all. It is not that way. Satan submits. God is in control. It is a truth battle. And that truth battle will always be won, but it is not necessarily a power struggle. Okay, so I want you to understand that. That should give you, that in itself should give you peace when you go to pray. Yes, that's why you're putting on all that armor of God. That's why you're standing firm. That's why you're submitting yourself to God. That's why you've got tools that God specifically gives you to win the war, because our flesh wants to reach out and war against flesh. And that's not our battle. And if we do that, we're going to lose not only our peace, but lose. Okay? So, how do you, I know you might ask, how do you not let someone steal your peace when they're a person right in front of you and there is something going on? How do you not let them, let's solve this problem. How do you not let them steal your peace? It's actually pretty simple. It's just hard to implement. But it's called surrender. And the reason it's hard to implement is I think you need to look back at how much you trust God. Because you see, if I trust, if I have an employee and I trust they're going to do it, they are trustworthy, they have proven their self trustworthy, they've proven their self capable, they have proven their self motivated, all of those things, I don't have to go look after them. I don't have to check up on them. I don't have to follow up. Now, you know, I will at some point just to kind of, because I'm the boss and you have to not let everybody just do their own job and never supervise. But you do understand what I'm saying? I don't have to because I trust them. But if I don't trust them, I'm going to go behind them maybe at every step of the way. And I'm going to say, I see you finished this. Okay, hey, did you finish this job? Because I don't see it done. Oh, you're in the midst of working on it. Okay, I'll come back later and check and make sure you finished it. Is that how you treat God? Or do you surrender it to Him because you trust Him? If you don't surrender, if you don't trust Him, if you don't have faith in Him, then we're going to call it pride. Anytime you think you need to say something or do something because God's not going to be able to do it, then that's called pride. You know, I'm a certified aroma freedom practitioner, and that is using aroma to deal with our emotions because that is biologically sound. The only way our emotional center of our brain, the only way it has access to the outside world is through our nose, which is our olfactory system. And so it is biologically designed as a way to touch emotions. God designed aroma to hit our emotions. God's design, not mine, not Vonda's, not these essential oil companies. That is God's design. Look back at the temple, look back at Revelation, and see what incense is to God. Aroma is His ideal. Aroma is His ideal for spiritual and emotional health as well as physical. So anyways, I was doing one of my aroma freedom techniques, and I was just, there's been a lot going on lately. And so I was just sitting and freeing my mind and just smelling and lavender and frankincense and stress away and just relaxing and talking to God, because what that all does is helps calm those emotions and I can just hear Him clearly. And so that's what happens in the temple and the altar of incense and those things. So one of the things God showed me was a very simple little phrase. I pray before I advise. Now you say, what does that have to do with peace and prayer and with people? Well, I tend to like, my goal is never 30 minutes. My goal is much less, but I just feel like I have so much to say, especially to my children, my adult children. And that is not a good plan, because we teach more than we pray. So I pray before I advise. Do you know how difficult that is? Is it difficult for you? Because it's like really hard for me. But actually, it's impossible if we're not a Christian. Because you think about a normal human tendency is that we know things and we have a brain and we should use our brain and we should teach others so they don't fall into the same failures or the same pitfalls that we fall into. It's normal to think that way. That's a logical way of thinking. Now, you suppose I'm going to say we're not called to think logically. Well, you know, that's not true. God gave you a brain. And why would God, if we are not called to think logically, cause and effect type things, that's laws of nature. Why would God put into effect laws of nature into this universe if He didn't want us to learn from them? Think about that. I had a pastor one time, Brother Wayne McIntyre, that said, common sense glorifies God. And I was like, what? It was just kind of a profound little statement that I've never forgotten. And he's right. I mean, common sense, if you don't have it, that's not glorifying to God. People are wondering why you're doing what you're doing and why didn't you know better? And we have a God to know better on things, so we should know better. So use your common sense. But there are times also when God calls us to move out of the natural. And if we don't trust Him to move out of the natural, and this is dealing with people because it says pray for those who hurt you and love your enemies, you know, things like that. And that's not natural. So if He calls us to move out of the natural, and if we don't trust Him, if we don't understand his ways and how trustworthy he is, then we will either freeze in fear or forget all about who he is and take matters into our own hands. So if we're frozen and indecisive and we like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I want to, but I can't. And we are stuck. Do what I need to do. Or if we're taking matters into our own hands, either way, we lose our peace. Either way, we lose our peace. Whether it's an internal struggle or an external struggle, we lose our peace. Peace is not the absence of painful or perturbing people. Peace is not the absence of storms. What biblical person that we know their life story didn't have storms? Okay, maybe Enoch. there may be others, but peace is not obtained in the absence of people or things. And it's not, peace is not had in the possession of things such as resources. For in a heartbeat, the stock market can fall and everything is wiped out. Your entire financial stability is wiped out. We know that happened in the Great Depression. In an instant, we know around here where I live, a tornado or a hurricane can occur and your house or your business and your possessions can be wiped out. Altered. You can get a phone call, as we did from my husband's dermatologist, and we referred to MD Anderson, and our life was forever altered. You can bring your husband, like I did, to the emergency room for what looks like a bad migraine, and you chase down a new diagnosis that forever alters your life. Okay? There are things that happen, car wrecks that I had, that I shouldn't have been at that place. I should have been in that person's home, but I left early because they were red throat and painful swallowing. And I'm like, nope, I need to leave. I have other patients to see, and for safety, I need to leave. That sounds a lot like strep throat, but either way, it sounds bad. I need to leave. And 2 minutes later, I'm in a car wreck, a really bad one that alters my life. So peace, if you look at it, in the absence of troubling or irritating people or in the absence of bad circumstances, that will lead you down a frustrating path. I need to break it to you. People will be people. And what that means is people are flawed. Newsflash, people are human and they're flawed. And they mess up and they do irritating things. So going back to I pray before I advise, if you trust that God can speak and transform lives, then you look for opportunities to join him, aka in prayer, not opportunities to take his place. You are taking his place because you are wanting the transformation in your way and your timing. Now, if you're wanting to cooperate him, there's verses on that. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a hard word stirs up anger. That's Proverbs 15:1. So another scripture that says, like apples of gold and silver settings of silver, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken at the proper time or in proper circumstances. Timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. So that's Proverbs 25:11. So how many people transform the way you want them to and when you want them to? I don't know if I can see your hands raised, but I'm not sure there's any raised right now for people who transform when you want them and how you want them to transform. So you can live in constant irritation with them, or you can peacefully present them to the Father. People are not your problem. Ephesians 12 says so. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We should stand firm against the schemes of the devil. They are not your enemy. Okay, there's a fine line here. You say, but then I should not say anything to people. Nope, it's not what I'm saying. You say I should not advise people. Nope, that's not what I'm saying. We should give counsel to people. We don't want them to drive headlong into danger. We don't want them to go down to a pit that we went into when we have the experience in that area and we realize that we feel compelled to talk to them. There's absolutely nothing wrong with sharing your life experiences with them and giving them and sharing your wisdom with them. But if you don't deliver it when and how God wants you to, then you have taken control, and that's pride. And we all know what the Bible says about pride in Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor comes grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but have you ever fallen? It's not peaceful. I mean, even if you fall and catch yourself, it's still not peaceful, and you don't hit your face and you don't hurt yourself or break a bone. It's not peaceful. Even if you just lose your balance and you trip and you take a few steps because your stepping reflex is really good, your heart rate goes up, because almost falling is not really peaceful. Okay? So when it talks about pride and a haughty spirit coming before a fall, that's losing our peace. So what do you do when you feel like you need to give answers? Or you feel like that person is your enemy? You're compelled and feeling like you want to say something in either of these situations. Oh, sorry. So I don't think I'm going to sum up every situation with a little bow today. But I will say this. God knows what to do, what you need to say, and when you need to say it. I know that sounds like a little cliche, but you need to trust for Him to tell you what to say and when to say it. And then, you know, a soft answer turns away wrath. How to say it? You know, I want to tell you a little story to wrap up. I do love other people's advice. If you know me, I love to call people and get counsel. I think there's wisdom. And as I said last week, if you heard my talk on friendship, man, people, especially when you're in the midst of something, they can say something that you never thought about before. And it is so God-sent. I mean, there was things last week or week before, I can't remember, that people said to me, and I was just so amazed and thankful that they were godly people, studied God, loved God, and were able to give me what they had learned from their situations and what God had taught them. So there is a time to do that. But, you know, there was a time in my life almost exactly 20 years ago today, February 10th was the day, and a person's advice was not what I needed at that moment. And I didn't realize that. I basically had my son, and then sometime after had a miscarriage, and so, as you can imagine, that was not a pleasant time. And then a little while after that, I got pregnant again, and I took the little home pregnancy test, and it came out positive. And, you know, what happened right after that, right after I see the positive, was not joy. Having gone through what I'd just gone through, I was in great anguish, and I began to cry, and I began to cry. And my husband, I didn't know what to do. And I thought, I need to call someone to pray for me. And so I remember going over the phone. Now, this is before cell phones and pretty much, I think, before answering machines. No, it was right about answer machines. But anyways, and that reason is it's in the story, I'll tell you. And so I remember thinking, I'll call so-and-so because they ministered to me and had gone through the same thing, they said, when I was on my miscarriage, and they had brought me food. And so I would call them to pray for me. And I called. Now, this is like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I can't remember exactly when it was. But when I called, someone, their daughter answered the phone, and they said, the daughter said, I asked to speak to them, the daughter said, they're in bed already. And I was like, what? I was like, who goes to bed at 7 or 8 o'clock? You know, not them. They had kids. And so as I'm putting down the phone to hang up, I hear God say, but I want to tell you something. And I remember thinking, yes, sir. I know you want to talk. Yes, sir, but I need prayer. Oh, I'll call so-and-so. They did the same thing. They ministered to me last time. They're at our church. I will call them. And I called and someone else answered the phone. And I was like, can I speak to so-and-so? And they're like, they went out on a date. And I was like, they never go out on a date. They never go anywhere. Like, okay. And I'm hanging up the phone. I hear God say, but I want to tell you something. And I'm like, yes, sir. I know, but I just need someone to pray with me first. Do you hear what I'm doing? I'm confessing what I did to you here. This is great, huh? I just need someone to pray with me first, dear Lord. And I walk around the house. Like I say, I'm walking in between phone calls thinking of the next person I could pray. And I remember saying, I'll call my mom and dad. And we lived at the time on a one-way street, you know, in and out. And not like I thought, I guess I could see them every time they passed. But anyways, I call and the answering machine picks up. They're not home. And I'm like, where did they go? I was astounded. And as I'm hanging up the phone, I hear God say, but I want to tell you something. And I'm like, okay. Yes, sir. Fine. I'm done. I don't have anybody else to think about. I chose him last. Do you hear that? And so I put the phone down. I go to get ready for bed because by this time it's late. And I'm getting ready for bed. And we lived in a trailer. And I'd been crying. And my husband had been walking around like, I don't know what to do. She didn't want me to touch her. I don't know what to do. And so I go in and I sit down and I pick up my Bible. And at the time I had my open Bible over here that my mom had given me. And I'd gone through a little system and I'd written CMP or something like that that they told me under the Psalms. Now, I don't recommend this method, but I just flipped open my Bible and kind of flipped through a few pages. And I happened to notice the M by this certain Psalm. And again, I'm not. Happened. So I see this M and I'm like, okay, I'll read this Psalm. And it was Psalm 113. And I don't remember much about Psalm 113. So I was like, okay, I'll read it. I'll sit here and read it because God, I know I need to talk to you and you want to talk to me. And so, okay, I'm going to read my Bible. So my husband's in there, you know, in the bathroom, brushing his teeth and stuff. And this is the scripture, the Psalm 113. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O servant, O ye, praise ye, O the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Now later I figured out, I didn't know then, M is for majesty. So listen how much we're praising the Lord. And I'm like, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? And I'm going, yes, sir, this is good. This is good. But I'm thinking, this is not what I feel like I need, but this is good. I'm going to keep. But I was wanting something specific. I was wanting something specific for my situation. And I was not wanting to praise God, but I was like desperate for my need at the moment. But I was just being obedient because everybody else was gone. And he says, who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He raised the poor out of the dust, and he lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even the princes of his people. Okay. Like, so far, I'm not getting a lot out of this. I'm praising God, and I'm and then verse 9 breaks in. The last verse of that chapter, and I don't know. But it speaks so differently, and it changes to me so differently. It says, he makes the barren woman to keep house and to be the joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. And I heard him as clear as I could hear him anytime as he would speak today. He said, see that word children? You're going to have your baby. And see this word joyful? It won't be like the last time. I will take care of you and your baby. And I was like, just stopped dead in my tracks. And I'm thinking, okay, it says it makes a barren woman to keep home. And I do. I feel like he said, I know, but the rest of the verse is for you. And I began to, honestly, I don't remember as much of this, but I do remember my husband's reaction. I actually began to laugh. And I was probably laughed out loud. And I was just tears of joy all of a sudden. The tears changed. They flipped right away to tears of joy because I realized what God had given me. And I remember it because my husband stuck his head out of the bathroom with his toothbrush still in his mouth looking at me like, oh my, what's happening now? She's been crying for how many hours tonight, and now all of a sudden she's laughing in the bed. But God had given me the scripture. And what I want to tell you, I know this is an odd way to think about prayer, peace granted. But, and I didn't necessarily pray to get this, but I thought this story was what you needed to hear. There are times that we need to let people have their time with God. Yes, we need to speak life into people through word and scripture. And if they call us, that's what we're called to do. And that's what my friends did. They spoke life to me because I was in a desperate situation. But sometimes when you hear something from the Lord, because this pregnancy, the next day I have written down, I had a blood pregnancy test and I passed it, but my progesterone was low, which is exactly what happened for the miscarriage. Do you see what God gave me? God gave me that. My friends could have given me many scriptures on being a mother and babies and children. All those scriptures they could have given me. But when I had that scripture, I was like, she called me and she said that. And I remember at my office, I remember where I was standing, exact moment when she said it and she started talking about it. And all I could think about was, he said, I'm going to have this baby. He said, I'm going to have this baby. That's the peace that you have with God, knowing something straight from him. So I want you to think about this week. Spend time with him. How much time do you spend with him, letting him speak to you, directly to you? Again, I went through a great amount of time talking about friends last week and how much they are. Let God speak to you. Go to him. God speak, for your servant is listening. All right, I know I ran a little over today. I don't know why I say I'd like to give something for this week. Spend time with your Father. He loves you, and he wants to be there with you no matter what circumstances you're in, whether it's the one I had before where I didn't have the baby, he was there, and the one I had afterwards and before that where I did have my baby. He was there, and I'm so thankful. If you want to, maybe one day I'll tell the rest of that story. It's amazing. There were so many things that happened. I went on bed rest. I had medicine pumped in me 24 hours a day and monitors, and I just so many things. But I clung to that promise and more that he gave me. But I clung to that promise. I'm going to have my baby. And I remained joyful because I was like, I'm going to have my baby. I'm going to have this baby. And later he gave me verses of full term and healthy. Spend time with the Father today. Thanks for joining me this morning. Have a great week.